On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York and the host of On the Ground. And to introduce you to this very special fireside chat, let me introduce you to the president of GNEC, Patrick Shirota, who really had that light bulb moment that started this entire ball rolling. So, Patrick, thanks for being with us today.
Well, first of all, thank you. Talking about introductions, this first new episode of the kind of remodeled On the Ground has moved us from a simple series of interviews with tremendous NGOs that are working on the ground, on the front lines, to a real show, to an opportunity for us to enjoy as well as learn, and for us to really benefit from your work as a professional in the field. I can't thank you enough for what you're helping us to do, and I know that Nadine and I, who formulated On the Ground, are just so proud and happy to be working with you today.
So, well, as you know, I'm really honored to be part of all this.
Well, I'm just so grateful. And you should know that we're excited because we've been excited by On the Ground. The idea of a podcast came to GNEC, or the Global NGO Executive Committee, when it was thinking about how it could fulfill its role of servant leadership. How could we help without being able to give large sums of money to the NGOs we want to serve? Well, one of the ways is being a megaphone. So many of them are doing incredible work. I should say this, that these associated NGOs with the UN don't just get associated. They have to go through a process of vetting. So we know going in that these folks are really doing great work on the ground, wherever they may be. And in many places, it's in the developed world, in the developing world, in places that are very, very difficult to get to, hard sometimes even to get video in. But radio, audio, like you're providing us, and Nadine really began with the ideas of the interviews with groups on the front lines, on the ground, is getting that voice out. And it's also getting that voice heard by other NGOs. Again, going back to an idea that we had from our very beginning of partnerships and outreach, when you pick up the ball and start interviewing our NGOs going forward, other NGOs will hear, partnerships will be formed, collaborations will take place, sponsors will notice, and the effects will be greater than they could have been otherwise. So I can't thank you enough. I'm really looking forward to your chat with Nadine, and I'm just so grateful that you as a radio professional and Ms. Clupton as our first vice president are getting together and christening this great, great program going forward.
Well, relationships have already been made by myself and many of the spectacular guests that are coming forward, but I want everybody listening to know one thing. This is really your show, and we will have a conduit for you to tell us who you would like to hear, the topics you would like covered, and of course, most importantly, if you would like to represent your NGO on the show and tell us what's working. And now we have a very special guest for this featured show. In fact, such a special guest that I call our discussion a salon or a fireside chat. And I hope that eventually you too will be part of this fireside chat or salon. Because what we're going to be talking about is the purpose of this show, On the Ground. Why are we here? What can we do for you? And what contributions can you make? So I'm introducing you right now to Nadine Clupton. Now, Nadine was the originator of this show, the original host of On the Ground. She has quite an interesting perspective because her entire career has been devoted to advocacy and change, just like yours. She's right now with Rodale Institute. She founded Conscious Consulting and volunteers with Caring and Living as Neighbors. And at the NGO Youth Representative to the United Nations, she's the first young person to serve as vice president of the Global NGO Executive Committee, or our own GNEC, the producer of this show. And there's so much more. So Nadine, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Adrienne. It's wonderful to have you on board as a co-host.
And what we want to do here is we want to emphasize and outline three things that this show is intended to achieve. And one of them is breaking silos among the NGOs and civil society in general. Another one is fostering collaboration among the NGOs and civil society in general. And I think most importantly, and I like to start with this one, is creating some optimism around advocacy and change. Because optimism can be extremely inspirational, and inspiration moves us along. So you have some strong opinions about looking only at the negative and how it really doesn't achieve much in civil society. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, and thank you for raising that. You know, when we had spoken before this, you had mentioned a term, positive deviance, the yes. emphasis on what's working. And I love that frame of thinking, because really, I think, especially when we get into the just grand challenges we're facing today, whether they're challenges of gender equity, the climate crisis, the public health crisis, we can get so hung up on what's broken, which it's absolutely necessary to honor and acknowledge and to bear witness to what's broken. But that can lead to overwhelm and then paralysis, really. So, you know, it's imperative that we focus on what's emerging. How do we make sure that we're consciously planting the seeds for the future that we hope to get to? And that's why I love the focus on optimism. I love thinking about all the amazing things civil society is doing to bring forward the emergent paradigm, the world that is more regenerative, more sustainable, where human rights are honored. And so how do we move from, you know, the world we're in today to that world and focus on what are the things that will get us there, and how, as the great eco-philosopher Joanna Macy says, how can we each serve as stones in the bridge to that future?
Well, that is quite beautiful. I'm going to actually be talking about regeneration in a moment and what you're about to be doing. But I do want to bring out here on this chat that one of the negatives of not being positive, the negative of not being positive, is that we tend to ignore what's already there and that is working. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to bring out. I was recently at a committee meeting where folks were talking about creating a direct service program. And there were many of those direct programs already around. But because they don't know about them, we keep reinventing the wheel and we can't move forward. So another thing that we want to do is let everybody know what's going on at different NGOs throughout the world, what's working, so they can model them and not always start from scratch. Now, you mentioned the word regeneration. Tell everybody what you're doing right now at Rodale.
Thank you for circling back to that. Well, at Rodale Institute, we're a 75-year-old nonprofit, and our work focuses on regenerative organic agriculture and educating the farmers of tomorrow. We're looking at the real hard-hitting science and running comparison studies between conventional and regenerative organic models to look at how that has an impact on climate change, how that has an impact on our ability to have ecological resilience in the face of things like extreme weather patterns such as droughts and flooding, to think about, you know, how we can produce the most nutrient dense food, and additionally thinking how can we regenerate our own bodies. So there's a correlation that's now being drawn between the use of synthetic herbicides, pesticides, fertilizers. And my work specifically focuses on building out a program called regenerative healthcare. So thinking, how can we get the two systems, agriculture and healthcare, to talk to one another? Because on average in this country, doctors have 19.6 hours of nutrition education in all of medical school. Now, I've talked to friends who've just come through medical school, and they estimated that in their own education, it was around 5. So there's a real gap in understanding, okay, how do we regenerate the human body through food? And what are the connections between soil health and human health? And we're working to really define those lines and to look at how can we create a world where people are eating nutrient-dense food that also has a positive impact on the ecosystems?
So, you know, one of the reasons I asked you to describe this, Nadine, was not just because it's fascinating. I think we all want to regenerate our body, but because it's a stepping stone to another important feature of On the Ground, and that is breaking silos. Let me explain a little bit about that. First of all, what Nadine is talking about is agriculture, creating a coalition with nutrition, creating a coalition with our medical industry, right? And medicine throughout the world, in every country, is an industry. There's almost no organization that does this as globally as the United Nations itself. There's no contest with regard to bringing different organizations together and creating that platform. So we have a tool here, GNEC, within the United Nations itself, to be one of the great silo-breaking forces in the world. And this is what we mean on a practical level. Here is a nonprofit, an institute that can bring together medicine worldwide, agriculture worldwide, and who would have thought that this could be done? But it can be the vortex of that sort of thing. And I'm going to add one of these things, Nadine. Right now, in Mexico, there are regenerative farms that are being built for retirement communities so that people who have been in the ecologic world and young people are going to be older people, they'll retire, and all of our new ecologists are going to want to continue their advocacy. And here's a place they can do that after retirement. So that's one whole world, a world of real estate that we can bring together. And at the United Nations, we do have those forces and resources. So breaking silos, extremely important. Being optimistic and knowing what's going on, extremely important, so that we're not always reinventing the wheel. But all of this takes collaboration. So let's throw this back to you. You have had a lot of experience in collaborative endeavors. You co-authored, not authored, but co-authored Golden Global Youth Climate Action Declaration and the Phoenix Manifesto. We're working together. We're collaborating right on the show, on the ground. It's not easy. Can you give us a little hints and tips on some of the successes and failures that you've had so that we don't start from scratch when we're looking to collaborate?
Well, that's a fabulous question. And, you know, something that I always like to lean on is that sense of collaboration and really not going at things alone. I feel like it's so easy in these spaces to get competitive with one another, and especially in the nonprofit or the NGO world where, you know, where funding is limited and there's a limited amount of grants to compete for. And even thinking about women in spaces like boards, women in the corporate space, there's this sense of competition that sometimes can be fostered, and really leaning into the fact that no, actually we are so much stronger when we work together, when we say, hey, you know, here's your strengths, here's my strengths. How do we pull from those? When you say, okay, well, this is where, you know, I don't have a strong suit and you might have a strong suit there. So figuring out how can we pull that together in support of the project we're working on and really put something together that's a collaboration of all of our strengths. And I wanted to just circle back quickly to something you had shared about in the silo busting piece and really thinking intersectionally, thinking in webs. You know, we have the Sustainable Development Goals, for example, which are 17 broad, important categories to address. And I actually like to take them out of the 17 buckets and think of them in webs and say, what are the intersections that are existing between all of these different areas? Thinking about, you know, regenerative organic agriculture, for example, that's not just impacting how we farm. It's not just impacting life on land. It's impacting our watersheds. It's impacting human health, impacting our ability to be resilient in the face of climate change, and ultimately local economies and local communities as well. So, you know, that applies to every single SDG and every single program area. So rather than thinking about things, you know, so linearly, if we can just really get into thinking like a spider or like a mycelial network, then the opportunities just so expand outward.
And, you know, as a practical matter, it starts, I think, with a declaration. And that's what we would encourage all of our listeners, all of the representatives of the NGOs to think about, particularly those that are associated with GNEC. And that is this. If you declare that one of your priorities is collaboration, and you might even include that in every one of your mission statements, if collaboration is in the forefront, just as Nadine is saying, if it's in the fabric of the way you do things, you will simply get the purpose of this show, which is to get you farther, faster. And what we hope, Nadine, I think, is that people will start to break silos because of listening to other NGOs, listening to what GNEC can do to support them, and, of course, collaborating and telling us about it so we can feature those collaborations. So before we end this little fireside chat, I want to go back to your role in GNEC. You became a member. You were inspired by it. Tell us how what it has done for you personally, on a personal level.
Well, thank you for that question, Adrian. You know, I started out with GNEC when I was in college. I've been an NGO youth representative for the NGO Caring and Living as Neighbors, which is based out of Australia, for about 7 years now. And I became the youth chair for GNEC, which was then called the DPI NGO Executive Committee. And it was a powerful experience to get to connect with all of these NGO leaders who have been in the space for so long, and to find mentors and friends among these colleagues. And it was, I remember distinctly, Holly Shaw, who was a director at the time, she encouraged me to run for a fully fledged director role. And at the time, no young person had done that. And I figured I'd shoot my shot, and I ended up becoming a director on the board, served out my first term, and then ended up running for the vice president role, which I'm serving in now. And I think GNEC has really given me a sense of empowerment and confidence that, you know, young people do have something to contribute, and we're so much stronger when we can work intergenerationally. I mean, I so lean on the wisdom and the expertise of my colleagues who are from older generations. There's so much to learn. And, you know, I hope I offer something to them as well. But really, I love the work of GNEC. I love the mission of GNEC, and thinking about how we can show up in service to the NGO community. It's so incredible to get to hear the stories coming from on the ground. And that's truly the genesis of this podcast and all of the programs we have, is we want to hear the stories of you, our NGO colleagues, and what's working for you. You know, where are your sticking points, and how can we better be of service? How can we generate more of those collaborations? Because, you know, as we've been saying, Adrian, we are stronger when we work together. And I think, you know, the more we can know about what's happening with each individual NGO, and right now we have some interns putting together an amazing mapping project where they're creating a database of all the NGOs we're working with, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, but rather can dive deeper into that sense of collaboration. And we're stronger together is really the main piece that I've taken away from my time with GNEC. And certainly, you know, after my term is up, is something I will carry forth with me, is also the spirit of the NGO community, and that pure spirit of service. Because so often these spaces can be co-opted by corporate and for-profit endeavors. You know, I think the voice of civil society is often the clearest voice of truth that there is, because it's just rooted in wanting the best for humanity and the best for ecologies. So the more we can do to amplify voices of civil society, the better off we'll be.
And I thank you so much for that. I mean, it was beautifully stated. It is the premise of On the Ground. It is the premise of GNEC and the over 1,600 now United Nations vetted NGOs that are members. You will hear on every one of these shows that we want more, not fewer. And what I do believe is we're stronger for our similarities, but even stronger for our differences. And we're going to be hearing from you. This is your show. So don't forget that we will soon have our website made available so that you can let us know the guests you would like to have us interview and the topics you would like us to cover. Thank you, Nadine. We'll be seeing and hearing from you again.